Right, everyone. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Brim Scenarios. Today we are taking a deep dive into the Summoner. Joining me to talk about the Summoner, I'm Emma, is my co-host Milk.
It's me.
And our special guest, Kohava. How's it going, Kohava?
Hello!
Hello!
I'm doing well. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about for this one.
Yeah. The Summoner is a minion. Its ability is a bit weird. It's you get three bluffs. On the third night, choose a player. They become an evil demon of your choice. Set up brackets, no demon. And then has the flavor text of, Hail the Guardians of the North, by my intellect thou art cut. Hail the Guardians of the East, by my will thou art dominated. Hail the Guardians of the South, by which that which lies beyond the mystery is revealed. Hail the Guardians of the West, a shield in the darkness. Don't really know, understand that, but it's fun.
I've never read that before in my life.
I'm pretty sure it's a paraphrase of a summoning ritual from a famous piece of literature or film.
That's a great guess. Yeah,
that sounds right.
Might be from the Coven, or I don't know. It's from something.
Anyway, the Summoner creates a demon. That's what it does. You get to pick your own demon. It's sort of like a Kazali, except different.
And you also get to be the demon for 2 days.
But you don't get to kill anyone.
You get the, all the downside of being the demon with none of the killing.
It's sort of like delayed reward times 100.
Yeah.
Like, you have a bad thing happen for you for 2 days, and then you get a really awesome thing happen to you on night 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also get bluffs, which is, of course, super interesting.
It's unusual for a minion to get bluffs, but it's sort of understandable in this context, since there is no demon and the summoner does need to stay alive.
Yes. It's...
And when you summon someone, they don't get bluffs, so...
But they theoretically already had some role that they know was out of play.
Yeah, it's unlikely that they're going to make a big pivot at that point in the game. Which is night 3, right? That's the summoning night.
Yeah, summoning
unless
is night 3.
Other things.
There is a jinx that will let you do it on night 2, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is one where I don't know how I feel about Summoner when I start thinking about it in general. It's an interesting minion. I think it's hard to build scripts for, and I think one of the things that people...
Yes.
I think one of the things that people really focus on in their script building for it is giving reasons why Knight 2 might not have a kill. It also has a slightly awkward thing that happens in 15-player games, or 13 to 15 player games where you have three minions that you put in the bag. If you don't put Summoner in the bag and the demon kills on night 2, most of the time it's very clear what the minions that are in play are. So sometimes that can be a little bit awkward on a script. You know, just as kind of some general thoughts about it.
So you could make a 5-minion, 3-demon script, but then the Summoner has less choices. So it's a trade-off. Yeah, I like Summoner because when I'm a minion, I prefer being a demon to being a minion.
Agreed.
And that's the... and as a Summoner, I get all the most fun parts of being a demon for me, which is the social, convincing people not to kill me, which I can do for 2 days, no problem. And then all the fun parts of being a minion, which is having a big impact on the game. Yeah. So I think it's a high stress character, but that's where I thrive, baby.
Yeah, it's a minion that you almost have to think about like it being a demon.
It's the closest way play. It's the closest you can get to being the demon.
It's in some ways like very similar to Leech or Imp in or Scarlet Woman, in the sense that like you are the demon, but like there's eventually going to be someone else they need to kill.
It's like a reverse Scarlet Woman almost. Like,
yeah.
You start as the demon and then somebody else becomes the demon.
But it also means you get to pick whoever you think is the best player to become the demon. And we'll sort of talk about, like, I think when we get to how to play it, sort of, like, that can lead you very deeply into, like, layers upon layers of how deep do I want to go on who I should summon. But it gives you something to think about, which I always like when a character gives you something to think about. And the summoner definitely has a lot to think about.
Yeah. It's another role that benefits heavily from your grim reading ability and also from your ability to get around town and figure out who is socially trusted. And those two aspects of summoner are going to be really important in picking your demon candidate.
It would be remiss not to mention that summoner is like Kazali in that it can cause bad feelings if it's mishandled. It's a character that is more likely to cause bad feelings than some other characters when it's in the bag. So you just have something to be aware of and to, like, understand the social dynamics of your players as a storyteller. And as a summoner, get a beat on how people might feel about being summoned. Yeah. And as a player, be willing to be summoned if you play a summoner script. Yeah. All of those things.
And much like with Rizal, you also do sometimes have to worry about the other side of that too, which is, some people might, like, feel bad if you choose not to summon them. And that can be awkward. So it's, like a lot of the more advanced experimental characters, I would say, definitely for players who know each other well. Definitely for players who have played a lot of Blood of the Clock Tower. Definitely for players who aren't going to, like, feel extremely bad about being summoned and or not being summoned.
I'll just throw this one out here. I was very happy in a game a couple days ago where I drew the ogre token, and I was so happy to be the ogre, and I picked my ogre friend, and they were good, and I trusted them, and everything was happy, and then I became the summoner, and everything was awful. And I am a player who always accepts whatever happens to me in a game. You know, if I get summoned onto, I'm going to try my best. But it was just one of those very awkward situations where even I, who've played many, many games, was like, I'm so excited to be the ogre. Oh, I'm the demon now. I love being the demon, but I was really happy to be the ogre. So, you know, just be aware that sometimes, like, you've got a role you really love and you might get summoned.
You're going to get summoned, and yeah, it's fine. It's
you
part
accept
of the game.
That. Yeah, you accept that as when you sit down to play the game. Like, you understand that. But don't force this character on your play group if you don't know sort of where they stand with those feelings, I think.
Yeah.
So, you've drawn the summoner token, have you? What are your first thoughts? What are you looking for? How do you start out? Like, I think with summoner especially, I think you've got a lot of thinking to do on the first night that minions don't always have to do. I know the very first summoner game I played was on the release stream, and it was just an unfortunate situation where the summoner got killed on night two. And, you know, that was very hard to sort of, it was very sort of hard for, you know, for a player who's just drawn this token for the first time to kind of go, oh, what do I sort of do with it? How do I look, you know, good? And I think there's a lot of risk there of, you know, feeling like you're under a lot more pressure than even a demon, because usually demons have some other effect that they're doing that's helping their team.
Yeah. An important, like, understanding of the Summoner's release cycle is, for Tifa, we had to attempt to shoot the release game 4 separate times before we got a summoner game that was, like, usable to show off what the summoner could do, because the other 3 were all just like, oh god, no.
Yeah, things went bad in a hurry.
Ben shot the original release on a Thursday, things went bad, and couldn't use it. Then I tried on a Sunday, things went bad, and I couldn't use it. The Australians tried on a Wednesday morning, they were like, yeah, we don't particularly think you should preserve this game, and then Ben tried again the next Thursday, and finally got one that we thought we could use. It is a tough, tough character sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole game is on your shoulders for 2 days. And in a way that it isn't on the shoulders of the demon. Because also, something that you may not be thinking about, but definitely impacts the game, is your short and evil vote and nominator and player who's talking for 2 days. So you and whatever teammates you've got, if you've got any, depending on the sizes of the game, kind of have to pull a little bit of extra weight in the beginning. You can't be suspicious. Your minion, your fellow minion might have to be extra suspicious, but you can't be neutral either. You can't sit back. You have to push something so that it's not you. Because no one else is going to do that for you. You don't have a third evil player yet.
And most of the...
And you might, sometimes you might not even have a second, because...
That's right.
Like, yeah. Most common player counts for the average group is probably 7 to 9. You're flying solo as the summoner.
Yeah, it's just you. And crucially, most of the fallback tools that demons can be able to rely on in games, usually they don't work with summoner particularly, right? The Scarlet Woman
like
can't...
Like, Mastermind doesn't work.
Scarlet Woman can't catch. Right? Mastermind doesn't work. Evil Twin in 7 and 9, you don't have one. And, it's just, a little bit unlikely to kind of show up with Summoner for reasons we can get into later. And then all of the, movement abilities, like a barber, you don't have a kill, so you can't kill Barber to try to move. Hatter, well, you can't stop... You don't want to stop being the Summoner... I guess you could just become the demon.
Then you lose.
Yeah, I guess you could just become the demon, but then you're really on your own.
If you're using the optional rule, you can become the demon if you don't want to be the summoner, but then you're literally playing the head with a head tied to your back the entire game.
Hard mode.
Because you're never getting your evil player back.
Yep, hard mode.
You are allowed to summon yourself if that's really what you want to do.
You can.
But I would advise against it.
I tried it once. It did not work out as well as I was hoping.
Yeah, I've seen it tried a few times, and it usually what you mentioned, Kohav, is that press of additional votes and nominations. It's just hard to beat that. You don't have that third piece of this information being created every day.
In general, we don't talk about evil voices, nominations, and votes as much as we should. And that's something that's sort of apparent in summoner games. And that you have to be aware of when you're evil. Yeah. But on the bright side, you have three bluffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. As the summoner, your number one goal is to not die day one or day two. I cannot stress this enough. Your goal is to survive till day three.
And I would say regardless of what minion... If you're in a two minion game and you've drawn the summoner token, or a three minion game and you've drawn the summoner token, I would say regardless of what token that other minion has drawn, they need to be more suspicious than you. I don't care if they're the Scarlet Woman. I don't care what token they have. They need to die for you, period, because you are out on a limb. And it can be very stressful. Like, it can genuinely feel stressful.
And you get first pick of bluffs. You tell them, I'm bluffing this. You can have these if you
get
want
all
them.
The bluffs. Like, you use them all. Don't give them the bluffs. They don't need them.
Yeah.
Do whatever it will take for you to survive as a summoner. Sell out your minion if you need to. Accuse other players with information. Just stay alive.
Usually this comes down to bluffing an ongoing info role, but not always. That's just the most straightforward path to staying alive for 2 days that I've noticed. If the saint is on the script, just claim saint.
Yeah. Goblin, like whatever you got to do.
Goblin. Like, pull out everything that you can do to not get votes on you for 2 days. Because after that, you can die and it's fine. So it doesn't matter if you've used all your tools in your tool belt by day three, because you made it to day three.
It's all you care about.
So.
All you care about.
Yeah.
So with evidence that you need to stay alive, what do you look for when you're deciding who you're going to summon?
And what demon do you pick? These are both important questions.
I want to throw in a thought here also, and maybe it's something we'll talk about more later. But there is a jinx between summoner and Pukka that allows the Pukka to be picked to be summoned on night two, and we were talking about having to survive for two nights. I have seen summoners who end up in the situation of going on night two. This isn't happening.
I'm not gonna make it.
And they make that Pukka on night two. So that's like when you're thinking about what demon you're gonna summon and who you're gonna summon it onto. Like, do be aware of that as like one of your options. I think decent eject seat. Ejector seat.
I would say summoning a Pukka early is more of a break glass in case of emergency thing than plan A.
It's not plan A.
You want the extra day of abilities to talk to people, learn about what's on the grim, and figure out who you want to summon. But if there's an emergency, summon the goddamn Poké Knight 2 and be done with it.
We out, baby. We out.
Yeah, ideally, you should be summoning a Pooka because it's a strategically correct option. Like, if there's a good player who you think has a really good Grim Read and is going to be able to make that poison correctly, it might be the right choice to summon a Pooka. But usually, Pooka is a difficult and unwieldy demon at the best of times. You can do amazing things with the Pooka. I'm not saying it's a weak demon. I'm saying it's a high skill barrier demon that requires excellent knowledge of players and predicting the future, basically. So it is, if you're summoning a Pooka because you have to, you might be struggling for the rest of the game. Your demon might be struggling for the rest of the game a little bit as it compared to if you summoned like a demon that gets to kill when they want to kill.
All right, so if you're not breaking the glass in case of emergency, you know, what are you looking for in a demon, and what are you looking for in a person to summon onto in general?
I like to think about the person first and the demon second. You could definitely go the other way. So I think where I see a lot of summoners trip up is you want to summon the person who's least likely to be executed as the demon at any point in the game. And I think the reason where I see a lot of summoners mess up is, or trip over themselves a little bit, is they think that that is the person who's most trusted at the end of day two.
Now.
But if the good team backsolves for summoner, which they frequently can do, the player who's most trusted at the end of the day two is gonna have the, hey, this person might have been summoned, red flag attached to them the rest of the game. And when trusted players don't die, they can also get the why isn't this trusted player dead flag attached to them. So I want to say you don't necessarily need to say, all right, who does town trust the most? I'm summoning gun. That player is gonna have to do some answering when it's solved a summoner, or when it's day five, and hey, why is our washerwoman confirmed player still alive?
Yeah.
When no one thinks they could be the D because they're washerwoman confirmed.
Yeah. Your ideal situation as a summoner is that there are several players who are confirmed when you're making your pick, so that the town will kill them first. The other option is for them not to figure out it's a summoner game, but you should expect eventually they will figure out it's a summoner game. Now, you can pick a confirmed player, but you should have faith that that player can pull it off, can pull off the I'm being framed defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, like, you probably want to pick someone who's not like minion level suspicious, but not virgin level confirmed. The middle space is like a good space to be in. However, sometimes you should still pick the virgin level confirmed players so that they can get executed by the town in other games.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to get a feel for the vibe of your game, right? You can frame somebody who's confirmed as being the person who got summoned onto, or you can summon onto a person who's been confirmed. And it's up to your team then when you get to the end of the game, you know, it's up to that person who you've summoned onto to make the case either that they summoned onto a confirmed person or that I'm a confirmed person that wasn't summoned onto, it's one of the others. And that's, you know, that's the play. And you as the summoner get to kind of decide that direction of the game to an extent. Because the more trusted a player is on day three, when you summon or when you choose whether to summon onto them or not, the more likely they'll be suspicious later. So do you want to summon onto somebody who's likely to make it to final three but get executed in final three more likely? Or do you want to summon someone who's maybe you're not as sure they're going to make it to final three, but in final three you think they can be less suspicious, right? And it's just a balancing act of your read of the game socially and what roles you think are in the game.
Another thing to keep in mind as a summoner is not only are you gaining an evil player onto your team as the demon, You're also removing a townsfolk ability from the game. So you can ask yourself, if I summoned like the soldier, what townsfolk abilities left in the game could figure that out? Is there a flower girl? Is there a fortune teller? Am I summoning right next to the empath? Right in those situations, that might impact who you summon. You might want to summon the empath instead of one of their neighbors, just because they can make up that information anyways. You might want to summon someone who, if you didn't summon them, would solve the game.
You also want to play the social meta a little bit, I think. Like, it's super easy to say, oh, this person's my best friend in the circle. Of course I'm going to summon them. We get evil together. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, like, you also might want to play the social angles of, who do these people think that I wouldn't summon? And summon that person rather than the person they think you would summon. Instead of your best friend in the circle, maybe the person you're playing with for the first time. Or just do it, or someone who's somewhere in between those extremes. Because, and I emphasize this a lot when we're talking about minions, there's generally a lot of ways to find minions on the Script of Blood and the Clock Tower, and generally a little bit fewer ways to find DBs.
Yeah, agreed.
So.
And when you're building a script, you should keep that in mind and design a script that way, because that makes for a good game.
Or that doesn't pinpoint demons specifically, right? That detects evil, but not pinpointing this person is demon or not evil.
But the point of that is, it's more likely that you're going to be found out as the summoner on day 3 or day 4 than it is your demon is necessarily going to be directly found out as the demon. So you want to keep the social angle in your mind and think about, okay, putting the game, the mechanics of the game aside, who do these people think I would summon? Who should I summon that they won't think I'll summon?
Yeah. You should expect that you might be found out as the summoner. You should not expect that you will make it to the end of the game and everyone will think you are good. Because your priority is about to shift. You only need to confirm your demon, and now you have to start looking a little suspicious, which means people might figure out that you're the son.
I'm gonna give a word of caution related to this same concept, which is it's a very awkward thing to talk about, but sometimes people will summon onto players that they perceive as being more experienced players or better players or whatever. I would caution strongly against that, and I will give you my personal experience, which is that I get summoned onto a lot. I am a public figure in the Clock Tower community. I co-host a podcast about Clock Tower strategy, and I play a lot of Clock Tower. And so people go, Milk knows how to survive as the summoner, or as the summon demon. I'll just summon onto him. I get killed a lot as the summoned demon, whether or not I am the summoned demon. So consider in your worlds, you know, that's not necessarily the most advantageous choice to make. Picking the person who's the most experienced in the circle might actually not be an advantage.
The most experienced player gets killed a lot, especially after a summoning. Yeah, because people are going to be like, oh, you know who we wouldn't be able to tell if they were the summoned demon? That person.
Yep.
So let's just kill them because we don't know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
So put a little bit of faith in your newer players and have them step up to the challenge, because actually they can. And if they don't, then they'll do better next time. Don't remove the experience of being a summoned demon from someone, because everyone should get to experience that joy. Or terror.
And the worst thing that happens is you have a catastrophe, right? Like, and everybody gets killed, and the summoned demon gets killed, or the summoner gets killed. And it's kind of rough, and you have a you just have to have a little laugh about it and just go, well, you know, summoner, isn't it? You know?
Yeah,
I didn't know you were in the fortune teller ping. I didn't know you were the fortune teller red herring, and for some reason in the drunk seamstress ping. I didn't know the storyteller was framing you, and you got summoned on too. What are you going to do?
Well, we've talked a bunch now about how to think about who you summoned. How do you think about what you summoned? And I have my own thought on this, but I would love to hear your guys' thought first.
So I'm partial to summoning the highest kill count demon on a script.
Very reasonable.
I like to summon the demon that'll fit my player best. I'm with Emma. I'm gonna pick my player and then pick a demon to suit them, y almost always, rather than picking the demon I want to see in the game.
That's totally
Unless
fine.
it's a Puka.
Don't worry. Everything's fine.
Don't worry
She's
about it.
okay.
It didn't break. A water glass fell off
Unless
my
it's a
desk, but
Puka
it
and I
didn't
need to
shatter.
run. Oh, what a joy. And it didn't spill on any of the electronics?
No, it was empty. I should have brought it to the kitchen a while ago. But the important thing is
I
it
have
didn't
spilled
shatter.
It's now time
way
for
too much water on my
it's now
electronics.
time for my favorite it's now time for my favorite bit where we say, we'll cut this from the episode, don't worry, and then don't cut it from the episode. It's really the
Yeah,
best part of the podcast.
I more or less strongly agree with what Kohavid has said. Like, all else being equal, pick the demon you think the summoned player will enjoy the most.
Or just pick the Poe.
I'm gonna push back just a little bit, and say, yes, I think that's a good criteria, right? I think you should don't saddle someone with a demon they're not gonna like. If you're breaking glass to make pukka, that's a different situation, obviously, emergencies being what they are. Don't saddle somebody with the Oho if they don't like the guessing game of Oho, right? Like that's reasonable. What I will say is I think sometimes you have to think a little bit situationally with the summoner in terms of like what's going on, and you just have a better grasp of that than the person that you're summoning onto. So ideally what you try to do is you try to combine a person that you want to summon onto with a demon that's situationally good to summon onto in the moment. I mean, if you can't do that, definitely lean in the direction of giving them something they'll enjoy for sure. But like if possible, you want to try to get a demon that fits the moment. Like don't this is this this example and this script is a really, I think, fair example is don't give a player who doesn't want to talk a lot the Yagababble. They're not going to have fun with that. If you're worried about the catch up, and I do think Summoner has an issue because they don't kill on night two, they are behind the eight ball. They do need to try to catch up a little bit. And so you often see them paired with multi-kill demons or things like Godfather and Assassin that do catch up kills, catch up mechanics. Yagababble is a powerful demon that can get a lot of kills and it can catch up pretty consistently. But not if that player doesn't want to talk in town and doesn't feel comfortable talking in public. That player probably needs a Poe, maybe an Oho in the example of this script.
I
I
want
mean,
to.
if we're going off. Oh, Emma, go ahead.
No, I would push back a little bit on. I wouldn't worry so much about catching up. Ignoring multi-kill demons for a moment, if you're like on an odd player count. You haven't actually lost much from the
It's true.
Knight of No Deaths. The good team has the same number of executions. This is why, like, Monk and Soldier are weaker on odd player counts than even player counts on TV.
Just sir.
On even player counts, you have lost a little bit. So maybe think a little bit more about the catch-up mechanics. But even then, like, evil can win with one Monk save on a 12-player game. Evil can win with one soldier hit on a 8-player game. It's not the end of the world. One extra execution for the good team is bad, but it's not a total disaster.
Yeah, reasonable.
If we're going off script for a little bit, I think some other demons that this sort of think about the demon in the full context of the game picture applies to is stuff like Nodashi, where if you're trying to like if there's two strong players sitting next to each other, you summon one of them and poison the other so that both their info doesn't mess you up. So that's like Nodashi can be a useful tool in your belt as summoner if there's specifically a person you need to summon and info you need to get rid of.
Yeah, poison showing up on day three is really good, right?
Do is always strong, so it's never going to be looked
Unless it's
wrong
a
to.
zero outsider
Unless it's
game.
base zero. Yeah. Don't summon your Fae Goo to a base
So,
zero.
because they don't add an outsider when you summon them, so you have to have an outsider in the game already. But otherwise, yes.
If you're not sure that someone is unsuspicious, you can't find somebody unsuspicious, that you're not sure who can make it to Final Three, make it Imp. At least then you got a couple of shots
Yeah.
at it.
I was gonna say, if you think that you've played an amazing summoner game and everyone trusts you, actually, and you're just doing great, you could just summon an imp. Don't summon yourself, summon an imp so that they can star past you if needed. Like, you always want another evil player. Yeah, and depending on what's on your script.
Zonbul also has a jinx that changes how the summoning works. You can summon a dead player into the Zonbul. I have personally never seen anyone do this, so I can't like give an analysis of whether I think it's a bad idea from like direct experience. I think it's a pretty bad idea. I would rather summon an alive player into the Zonbul almost every time.
I don't think I've ever seen a Summoner Zonbul script, is a weird thing that I am now suddenly discovering about myself.
Well, it's not like Zonbul is the most popular
Yeah,
character. I think
on
Zonbul
custom
might be
script.
the. They're both difficult to put on a script,
Yeah.
but they do both solve each other's problem of no kills on night
They
two.
sure
I
do.
guess.
In a
The Lord
sense.
of Typhon is also jinxed
Yeah.
this summoner, so you get to create another minion when you summon a Lord of Typhon. So again, if there's two players sitting next to each other and you want to deal with both of them at once, you could summon one of them into a Lord of Typhon and hope the other one becomes a minion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the problem with Summoner is it's so situationally dependent. But you do, yeah, you have to think long term, and you have to think, what is this player going to be okay with being summoned into? And you have to think, tomorrow, when we wake up and people realize it's a summoner game, what is the good team going to think? And that's that, you should have an answer in your head of to that question when you're thinking about who you're summoning, because you need it to be different than what the good team is going to think.
And talking about what the good team's gonna think, how should we fight the summoner?
Great transition, Emma.
Do it.
Perfect timing.
Actually, we should recognize that transition because it was really good.
Very
Okay.
solid. So like your starting point is, your starting point is if you're on a summoner script, it's possible that you're just gonna get that second knight of information for free, basically. And so some players think about it in, if I'm on a summoner script, I'll just skip the first execution. And then on day two, if nobody has died, we know it's a summoner game and we can operate from that. What do you two think of that approach to dealing with the summoner, to combating the summoner?
That's great if it's also a Zonbul script, actually.
I think like the one concern with that is the information you're getting on night two in a summoner game as the good team is somewhat worse on average than the information you'd no get in night two in a non-summoner game.
Yeah.
So, if there's other things you want to try to trigger, like for example, the script we're going to look at today has a cannibal and a minstrel. Like, well, first of all, minstrel is terrified for a summoner. I'll talk about that later. But
It's very
oh
scary.
yeah. Oh,
It
we
turns
all
all.
experienced that together.
Yes!
It turns all the minions into saints. It's very scary. Actually, we're recording this before the big Jinx update, and I don't know if like the weirdness of Summoner Minstrel being the only way the Summoner could be forced to be drunk and not be Jinx to be a game loss for evil is gonna change. Fingers crossed, because turning every minion into a saint for a day is terrifying.
Is really
But
scary.
it's like certainly a reason to execute as the good team on days one and day two in the game, even if you think it's a Summoner.
The other reason is you could just win.
Yeah.
So if you have info that points you to evil players on day one and day two, and on this script there's Village Idiot, maybe you should just go for it because you might just win. And like, evil has less tools to fight you, on day one and day two. So you might just box them into a corner if you execute 2 days in a row.
It's better than a 1 in 6 chance if you just kill two people that aren't you, that you've killed the summoner in a way. You know, like there's a pretty good chance that you're gonna get a minion there.
And stuff like cannibal, they really want you to kill someone. like, generally speaking, I think as good, you always want to be executing unless you have a good reason not to. I don't think Summoner's a good enough reason not to.
This is a great way to put it. The rule of thumb should be to execute. Sometimes you should not follow that rule. For example, if you all agree there's a good player on the block and the best you can do is tie it. Or other reasons, but that's a good reason to do. Or you all agree that all the evil players that could be nominated today didn't get enough votes. Those are okay reasons not to execute. But the default should still be to execute, even if it's a summoner game.
Like, yes, you are trying to get information to night three when it's going to be useful for finding the demon. But it's also nice to get rid of that Scarlet Woman before they have anything they can do, or get rid of the summoner and win the game. Like, you don't want to just abandon these, like, other important things on the chance that the town crier can learn information on night three instead of be executed at day two.
And I think something interesting that this script, which is our exemplar script, which is a Grim Chorus by Zetz, has, is it doesn't really have any rules on it that want to die on day one. And I think it's playing on that desire of town in some ways to not kill on day one, to try to force town to sort of, or try to encourage town to sort of make a mistake in not killing someone.
It's a pact with good bluffs for the summoner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you should still try to kill the summoner. Also, you don't know it's a summoner game.
Yep.
Unless, like, there could be a regular demon. And then sometimes it's a normal demon game. I was going to say, like, a third of or fifth of the time. There isn't, like, a exact statistical model. But even if it was a good strategy against the summoner to skip an execution, you don't know that it's a summoner game, and it's a good strategy to execute if you're fighting a regular demon. So don't play to the slimmer odds, even if it was a good strategy, which it probably isn't.
Yeah.
Like, on a summoner script, you should not expect it to be a summoner game until there are no deaths on night two. And then you should start building summoner worlds.
So
you should expect to have a demon on day one, probably.
So no one dies night two. Day two, you think it's a summoner game, but the summoning probably hasn't happened yet. Let's talk about how do you fight the summoning? What can you do as a town to either make the summoning choice harder or find the summoning demon after it's been made?
Sorry, I just broke something I was fidgeting with.
Uh-oh.
It's just a hair accessory, but I'm going to get a better fidget. So,
all right.
And you know what? You don't have to cut this. It's fine.
No, we won't. We never do.
So this was made to fidget with. Okay.
So yeah, what do you do to let's talk about two things. How do you narrow down the summoner's options for good choices? And second of all, how do you kind of force the summoner into a bad choice, potentially?
One way to do that is the summoner, as we were saying, they want a really good grim read, so you could just lie.
Disrupt the info.
Just like, don't come out until day three. Or only tell one person and swear them to secrecy or something. Bluff that there's confirmation that exists when there isn't confirmation that exists.
Hold your confirmations until after the summoning.
Hold your confirmation. Yeah.
Don't night watchman pick on day two or night two or night three, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
well, night three is a fine time.
Night three is fine. Sorry. Okay. Night three is fine. But don't go one or two, night one or two is what I was trying to say with night watch.
Don't slayer shoot on day one or two.
Yeah. That seems right. I also think...
Get your fisherman advice on day three, probably.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, the storyteller's not going to sell the summoner out on to day one or day two fisherman advice.
Yeah, I think that's
probably
right.
No, they might tell you it's a summoner game, but they're not going to help you with who the summoner is.
Remember that your information gets objectively stronger after night three, right? Starting with night three after the summoning, your information is stronger. So what you share on day one and two, unless it's distinctively pointing at the summoner, it's probably not that valuable to the team. You want to kill the demon. You kind of almost don't care about the summoner in a sense. Like, killing them on day one or two is great, but mostly you just want to get that demon after they're summoned.
If you're the gambler who died in night two, maybe say, hey, this is who I gambled. Maybe they're the summoner. But if you're the village idiot, you don't need to tell the summoner who you already have goods on. That's information the summoner doesn't need to know.
Yeah. You can share some evils if you want. Yeah. They could be relevant, but sharing people who you've already picked.
You might be drunk, so.
Yeah. But sharing people you've already picked as the village idiot, right? You're incentivized not to go back and pick those people. So lie about who you picked and got goods on.
Yeah. And then on the dawn of day three, watch who wants to talk to other people really badly.
Yeah. You know, we don't talk about whisper tracking a lot. We don't talk about conversation tracking a lot. But like genuinely with Summoner, it is sort of a tool that you can use. The new demon is probably interested in talking to someone.
Well, the old summoner needs to talk to their... We didn't say this in Summoner, but the new demon doesn't know anything, so you should find a way to tell them what's going on.
You don't need to, like, immediately run up to them. You don't need to wake up night three and say, hey, I need to talk to you right now about some very important business about what happened last night. But, like, I've never seen, like, a summoner who tries to hide from the demon they just made go well for the evil team. Like, you want at some point to catch up with your new demon, give them the lay of the land, tell them why they were summoned, have them not kill you or your other minions by mistake. It's one thing if they want to kill you on purpose, but...
It's awkward to accidentally kill a minion.
On the good team, you should expect that conversation will happen at some point on day three, maybe day four.
Yep.
And it's something you can keep an eye out for. It's not fun to solve every game by whisper tracking, but it is an important thing to keep in mind with Summoner.
Yeah, like the Summoner will hopefully not be subtle enough that it won't be extremely obvious who they're running to talk to give the scoop to at the top of day three. But that doesn't mean they're not going to talk to their demon. It doesn't mean you can't watch out for that.
The person you spend most of day three talking to, maybe they're less likely to be the summoner, is a way to think about it.
Yeah, that's also a good point. What else? Just value your information more highly from day three onwards.
Yeah, you don't need to necessarily ignore your earlier information.
Yeah.
But you can take it with a grain of salt and... Like, I mean, this script is interesting because there's none of the starts and ends. There's nothing that sort of is fully front-loaded. Which I think, like, well, on the one hand, it's really helpful for the good team because they don't have to worry about front-loaded information being made completely useless by a summoner. But it can be hard to disentangle some of your later information, like Exorcist and Innkeeper. Maybe you do want to value your night two information, because if it's not a summoner game, if you're wrong, that information is then super valuable. If you're the exorcist who picked someone night two and there was no kills, sure, one explanation is no demon to exorcise. Another explanation is you exorcise the demon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wake up on day three with three people dead and you go, oh, oops, it wasn't a summoner night. It was a poe charge, right?
Yes, exactly.
But generally, you're going to want to value your later information more. Your VI evil pings from day three on, probably more useful than your VI evil pings on day one.
And it might be worth rechecking your VI good pings from earlier.
Sure.
Especially if you told anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if they're still alive in the late game.
Yeah.
If you gambled someone night two and lived, try gambling them again night four. I think the gambler goes after the summoner. In fact, I know the gambler goes...
It does.
You know, I know the gambler goes before the summoner because I've seen games where the gambler has been summoned after a mistake has been made.
It goes after the summoner. Interesting.
No, it goes before the summoner.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've seen games where
the gambler
has
kill
died
first.
And then the summoner has summoned them.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen
games about Grim Reads.
Where the gambler has summoned the has gambled the summoner as their bluff, and a new summoner has summoned the gambler who is now dead.
Whoops.
Whoops.
That night phase Grim reveal. Gotta love the night phase Grim reveal. My favorite thing. Because you always know something funny has happened.
What else? Just like what we were talking about with what to think about in a summoner, if there's a confirmed player and they're making it pretty far, they probably need to die.
If you got the Nightwatch from Ping Night 1, the Nightwatchman has been super public about it. You've been super public about it. It's day 3, and it's you, the Nightwatchman, and the soldier. Or the final 3, and it's that. Maybe that Nightwatchman isn't the Nightwatchman anymore.
Seems likely.
Yeah. Most recently, I summoned the confirmed golem.
Nice.
As the summoner. and that was great. But you can't always... You gotta expect that, hey, it might be a summoner game. We gotta... The confirmed people, they should probably actually die now.
Yeah.
And seems
if
right.
You are gonna summon the golem...
But if it's not a summoner game, you gotta keep those people alive.
And with the golem, like, remember, they can't nominate. They, even though they can now nominate, they still can't.
And if they do, something has gone very wrong. For them, specifically.
But Evil Team might be rising up if they are nominating, because that's basically the only time they should be.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we talk about
what you look for in a script with Summoner? Because I think it's going to be largely a conversation about the three kind of components that you see in a lot of Summoner scripts, and my curiosity about how high or low the two of you value them, which are things that might cause there to be no death on night 2, things that create additional kills to hide the fact that it's a summoner game, and then what demons do summoners want to summon in general?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say before we get to that is I will generally try to avoid my best to avoid most of the summoner jinxes. There's a lot of them because it's a very janky character. It's jinxed with engineer, it's jinxed with courtier, it's jinxed with preacher. It stinks with poppy grower.
Hatter.
Alchemist, clockmaker.
Most of these are jinxes I'm going to try to avoid. I appreciate that these jinxes exist or try to make them work together, but most of them are super janky. And a lot of them take away the entire fun of a summoner, even if they technically make the summoner work. Like the preacher.
Like the
preacher is a good example.
The preacher and courtier and poppy grower ones. Just take away the summoner's ability to pick either the type of demon or the player. And I get it. Like, it makes these characters be able to go on scripts together. But it makes summoner so much less fun, and it's janky, and you have to explain extra rules to your characters, players. I don't really want to do any of that most of the time.
The jinx characters that I would put on a summoner script are Marionette and Puka.
Yeah, those are the two jinxes I like.
I'll just call out the other ones that are awkward, which are Pit Hag and Kazali, because they can both create a summoner in the middle of the game, which is a really weird interaction that the text kind of works, but it just doesn't.
Yeah. So I'm mostly going to try to avoid the summoner jinxes.
I agree.
The other big thing I think is, when you think of how I want to say this, I think it's good to have some reason, other reasons for there to be a lack of deaths on night 2 other than summoner. I don't think you want it to be so like BMR direction that it becomes impossible to speculate about whether it's a summoner game or not.
Yeah. People should be able to figure out if it's a summoner game eventually.
Like, they may not know with certainty, but they shouldn't have to deal with 10 different worlds, one of which is summoner. They should have to deal with three different options for what happened night.
My big concern with summoner scripts and what I see a lot, and it is here, and I think this is still a good exemplar script, and I don't think this is a bad script, but I see a lot of scripts doing the thing that is focusing entirely on making it unclear if Knight 2 is a summoner or not, right? Like, there's a lot of things that cause extra deaths. There's a lot of things that cause no death. That's paired with, you know, here, Yagababble, Ho, and Poe, all of which are demons that could just not kill on Knight 2. Like, so they're,
Pooka could also miss
Pooka
on
can
night
also
two.
Miss on Knight 2. Yeah. Yep. If you execute. Like, so it might just be that, it may just be a thing for me, but I feel like there's a lot of summoner scripts put too much effort into making the summoner's existence the puzzle of the entire script. And by day three, that puzzle doesn't really matter anymore. Like, that puzzle was interesting on day one and two. On day three, now there's a demon. It doesn't matter what the puzzle that the first 2 days were focused on were. That's my perspective. You know, maybe I'm a little more harsh than others.
Yeah. No, I agree. It doesn't need as much as this script has. And it's Emma's, like, point. You don't want to have to deal with 10 worlds. And also, like, the demon can just sink if you executed someone on night two. Like, and demons do that sometimes to it on summoner scripts. So as a script writer, you don't have to put all this extra effort in. You probably want, like, three or four characters, including the summoner, that could prevent a death or cause an extra death on night two, and that's enough probably. But if you have death preventers or death causers and single kill demons, like, you need to balance your script too.
Yeah,
so
that's the problem, right? If you have a bunch of death preventers, now you need a bunch of extra, they need more extra death causers, and it just goes in the BMR direction of lots of protection, lots of extra death. I think you do need some...
And you can't have a script that's too BMR-y because they need to be able to find the demon in a summoner game post-summon.
And I think, like, having some extra kills is important with summoner because of the potential need for catching up, you know, whether that's important, you know, how important that is. I just think, and if you're going to have extra deaths, then you probably want some protection, but I think it's very easy to go overboard. So I try to look for scripts that have a balance of information roles and that sort of summoner support package.
Yeah. Now, something I really like about this script and what I really like in summoner scripts is just the complete saying, absolutely not. Fuck starts knowing information. It's useless in a summoner game. It doesn't need to be on the script. I'm not saying, like, having a steward or a washwoman breaks a summoner script, but the virtue of a summoner existing on the script makes the characters like that, like, especially, like, Knight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the demon.
Remember, you're just completely useless in a summoner game if you're a knight. Or even
in a summoner
script.
You know what the only good you start knowing role in a summoner script is?
Is it
Pixie?
Pixie!
Like, and that doesn't mean, like, you can't have start knowing roles on scripts. Like, not every character on a custom script has to have appropriate interaction with every other character. But maybe don't overload your good team with a bunch of starts knowing roles that are exclusively useless in a summoner game.
I kind of agree with that.
It's usually better to give them a little bit more extra once per game roles, like we see on this script with Night Watchman, Slayer, and Fisherman. You could even put Artist or whatever, because then it becomes a push your luck game. Do I use my ability before the summon, or do I try to keep it for after the summon? And that's more fun. That's a more fun decision for your players almost always.
Yeah, you're sort of using those pusher lucks as you start knowings in a way, but they're you start knowings that get to decide when they start knowing.
Exactly. Yeah. And they want to start knowing night three or four.
I'd also just caution about, again, extra evils is always a weird thing. Extra evil creators step on summoner's space a little bit. Like, its space is it creates a demon out there in the world somewhere. I think when you have other extra evil creators, and I'm specifically thinking about Mzephalese, really, they're doing very similar things. They don't really want to be together most of the time.
They can go with Fangu, I think.
It can go with Fangu or Lord of Typhon. Those can be interesting choices to make.
But yeah, it is tricky. Like, the thing with Summoner, the thing that makes it really, truly strong is a player was good for 2 days. Is this similar to Marionette? They're giving off good reads for 2 days. And if you have like extra evil conversion happening, then the players can start to feel like my social reads don't matter because people can turn evil at any time. And so my day one social reads, which are usually really, really good information in a game, like it can make people feel like it's not worth it. Day one isn't worth it. Yeah, and that's not what you want.
The other one that's super awkward is Goon, which I don't think Summoner is jinxed with Goon.
It's not. That's the other one besides Minstrel.
That,
I forgot
it,
about
it. It should be. It better be. That's like even more than Minstrel. It needs to be jinxed with Goon.
Because the way Summoner works without the jinx with Goon is the Summoner fixes the Goon turns evil, and they both lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's rules as written.
So maybe don't do that.
Or just house rule that the Goon gets summoned.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
It's probably a better way
to
do it.
Think.
Yeah.
You could even rule like the Goon gets summoned, but it might be a different demon than the summoner wanted or something. Yeah. If you really care about
preserving the drunkenness of
jinx.
The Goon there.
Yeah. I think the demon choices are really important on a summoner script. You want variety. You might want to put Puka on there.
You want demons that the summoner is always going to have some reason to pick, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The Oho, for example. The Oho is a nice summoning demon because the Oho is never going to miskill a minion on night 3.
That's true.
They don't need to
That's
rush
true.
And talk to the summoner.
Yeah.
Like, the Poe has some nice interplay with the summoner. Yagababble can
they
be
can
a
also,
bit...
Yeah.
Yag can be
the
a little
Poe
bit awkward.
The Poe can also charge, so they don't need to talk to the minion right away either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Poe can be... Yagababble can be a little bit awkward because all of a sudden you're evil and you're having to say stuff. And you didn't say stuff on the day before specifically, so you're not getting kills on the night that
getting
you summoned.
Kills.
It's weird.
Though, you can make a deal with a player before you summon them into a Yagababble.
Yeah.
And they could say something... And you can let the storyteller know that they're going to say that. And that could be their phrase. Like, most people will accept that deal if you approach them as the summoner.
This script has Pucca and Scarlet Woman, which I don't think is a great interaction between them. But I actually think that Pucca gives you as the summoner, if you do put Pucca on the script, I think that kind of counts as your bailout for the evil team. And I think if you put Pucca on, you don't necessarily need that sort of that escape character. You don't need that backup character for either Mastermind to Scarlet Woman or Evil Twin that lets the demon kind of survive getting killed. I think the demon's appearing on day 2 or 3. The thing you want is something that makes the summoner dying not so bad, and maybe the summoner dying not so bad is supported by Pucca better than something like Scarlet Woman, Mastermind, or Evil Twin.
Yeah, I mean, the Scarlet Woman can't save the summoner.
Exactly.
So
they have to save themselves by making a Pucca, and if they've done that, or like if they've made a demon on day 3, a demon who's made on day 3 probably doesn't need a fallback position. They probably don't need a Scarlet Woman to fall into most of the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may not need as many of the sort of catch-up, not the catch-up characters, the demon safety net characters.
Yeah. And Puka is your new demon safety.
Yeah.
Puka is your new demon safety.
And the summoner itself is, it's another thing that moves the demon. It's another version of the demon safety. It's already fulfilling that role to a degree.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Another character that has a weird interaction with summoner rules as written is Little Monsta. I'm pretty sure I house rule it, so I'm not actually sure what the rules as written ruling is, but I think it turns someone into an evil townsfolk holding the baby.
I think that's the default rules as written. It's a little silly.
Yeah.
And it also runs
into house rule it that they become an out-of-play minion or an in-play minion if that's not possible.
And it also creates, like, Little Monsta Summoner creates a problem where if you use a standard character distribution on the script, it sort of just doesn't work at 3 minions.
Yep.
Because the little monster adds the 4th minion, who's the summoner, and then the summoner takes away the little monster. It's just, but then there's too many minions, so you have to take away one of the minions. It's very weird and awkward.
It's complicated.
It's weird.
So
It's difficult to summon a little monster. It's difficult to make a little monster game when summoner's on the script in a high minion count.
It's just awkward.
So they're awkward on scripts together. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about bag building for the summoner. So we have a summoner. We don't get a demon. But we have to build a bag that will be fair to both teams for what they might want to do.
I think, like a lot of experimental characters, the summoner needs a good bag.
Yeah. It's very reliant on...
More than in Trouble Brewing.
It's very reliant on having a good bag. I think the first place maybe we can start is we mentioned about having some of those push-your-luck rolls instead of you-start-knowing rolls. So maybe something like a Night Watchman is a pretty good pick here. Because it can, you know, get some information the town could use as an anchor on day three.
Mm-hmm. I do like either a Godfather or an Assassin as your second minion in a two-minion summoner
exactly.
setup.
I agree.
We just talked about how Scarlet Woman and Summoner don't really get along.
Like,
so.
I don't think it super matters which.
I don't think it matters
which. I
like
the Godfather a little bit better because... The possibility of the kill Knight 2 without the certainty it will be available, I think, is more interesting than the Assassin who can just go, yep, hiding this.
I think it also helps, the plus one outsider helps a little bit to diffuse the amount of power town is going to have from having an extra good player at the start. And if that extra good player is replaced with an outsider instead of a townsfolk, it's a little bit better for the good team.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, when you take away the demon, you put in a townsfolk. You always put in a townsfolk if you take away an evil player.
I'm putting Gollum in the bag because confirmation is fun in summoner games. I think we should probably... Oh, I was going to advocate for drunk, but we have put all of the other ones.
We don't have to.
I'd like to have...
For non-including the drunk was... Summoner games can be difficult for the good team because things go wrong, and maybe because of that, give them characters who, if they're spreading misinformation on the good team, that at least they know they're doing it.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think I actually would love to have Damsel specifically because it gives the summoner something interesting to do after they've summoned the demon.
After.
Like, the summoner can go damsel hunting after they've gotten their summon off.
It also creates a situation where the damsel might want to get executed on day one or day two, and that's someone who isn't the summoner getting executed.
Also positive,
However, the summoner and the godfather probably both do not want to guess the damsel on day one or day two.
They don't want to take the risk, certainly. But on day three, the summoner can be pretty liberal about it.
Certainly not in this script when there's a minstrel present that could really... mess things up if you make a damsel guess day one or day two and people read it as serious.
If there's a damsel, we got a cannibal.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I really like that interaction. Make the damsel have to work for it. They don't get to die night two either, so.
I also quite like cannibal because we were talking about towns maybe wanting to avoid killing on the first day, and the cannibal is somebody who's going to be loud and give town a reason to make that kill.
Yeah. I'm willing to go for politician. It does present the, like, another player is playing for evil, but also that's not really an issue with politician. They're not going to be social red as good early on in the game and then flip.
Yeah.
So.
And getting the team together with politician and a summoned demon, evil's going to be focused on collecting that summoned demon. They're not going to care too much what the politician's up to.
Yeah. Let's see.
We could put one of the reason for no night death on night two characters.
Yeah, one of innkeeper or exorcist, but not both. I
think I prefer innkeeper. To exorcist. It's a little uncomfortable for a demon to get exorcised on night three, just as soon as they appear in the game.
How do we feel about a number of village idiots?
I think they're helpful. I think Good needs something like that in this setup.
And I think I'd want two real ones. There's not enough.
The summoner is going to get bluffs. The godfather is going to learn that drunk is out of play, which won't be super helpful for them. But we only really have one minion who needs a bluff.
Yeah. I would,
did you say you want two or three?
I would want at least two, because I want the village idiots to not want to chase their information on day one and two. And hearing another village idiot exists is a good reason for them to go and figure out their information, not kill the summoner.
I'm happy with three, honestly.
Yeah, three's fine.
Or two, yeah.
Two, three, whatever. However many you want to put. I think I'd also quite like to have a general on this script.
See general or fisherman. I think they both do something interesting.
I was going to say fisherman.
Let's go fisherman.
And I think general is similar to, yeah.
Yeah, let's go fisherman.
You just want the storyteller to be able to give the team
nudge
something.
Nudge a little bit.
And both of those characters are that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is a neat grim.
Then you have to pick bluffs for your summoner. The temptation, I think, is frequently to give the summoner whatever explanation for no deaths is out of clay. And I'm not saying never do that, but I think it's a temptation you want to push back on a little bit as a storyteller.
I agree with that.
I think a great bluff for summoner is amnesiac here. Because nobody wants to execute an amnesiac early because they just feel bad.
Yep.
And the summoner needs any help they can get. So I would give that as a bluff here.
I was like, general, what is the bluff here? Okay. For similar reasons.
Yep. Yeah.
General is a character that is so dependent on stringing together multiple nights of information. People don't always treat it like this. People sometimes treat it as a disposable thing you could just kill. But you should actually want your generals to be stringing together two or three nights of information at least.
I think I would.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't mind giving gambler as a bluff here. And the reason is that the godfather on night three could end up getting a kill. And on night three, the godfather might not know who they want to kill. And it could give the godfather something that they can use to use the kill on themselves and then push on someone with the gambler ability. So, you know, in the world where the summoner and the godfather don't end up talking or don't end up agreeing on who's going to be the demon, or maybe the person they agreed on got executed that day. And so, you know, they don't have a chance to recommunicate. You know, the godfather can do something with their kill, you know, in that case.
And gambler is also a great bluff that's not getting executed early game, and it's suspicious as it's alive late game, so the summoner can take it too. And a very common bluffing as gambler play that'll get you through the days you need to get through is, don't execute me today, I'll kill myself tonight.
Yep.
And that just might get you the night you need to summon a demon. So I think that's also a good good call.
The other thing is either minion might get killed by the demon accidentally, right? Like, it just might happen. And if either minion gets killed by the demon accidentally, claiming to be a gambler on that night, you know, you can make some space there. Because there are demons here who, if they get summoned on night three, they actually could just not kill.
Yeah. Now, summoner is sort of like all your important storytelling decisions with the summoner are basically done with setup. It's the minion itself sort of runs itself at that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to hope two out of three village idiots don't hit the summoner, and basically that's it.
I like, one thing I would suggest doing is float your drunk until you get the night one village idiot hits on the grim like this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't do that.
I would.
I might.
I would consider it. You know, if the first village, we've got three village idiots, so it's very risky for the summoner, right? If the first village idiot picks the summoner, and I didn't have them as the drunk, I might not make them the drunk. But if the second village idiot isn't the drunk, and they also pick the summoner, I'm probably going to move the drunk to them. I just think that two village idiots getting an evil on the same player is probably very risky. And I am not a night one token integrity person. Once you decide, you have to stick with it.
Yeah.
But night one, I'm not that concerned about where that drunk token is.
I think Co-op disagrees with us on this.
token integrity person.
Nah.
Which is, yeah, like, and
it's,
I think there's...
It's between my players and I want them to know how I storytell, and I'm going to do it consistently.
Yeah, that's
and I'm going to assign
reasonable.
The drunk village idiot token. I'm probably going to put it on the person who I think is most likely to pick the summoner player night one, but I will put it before any of them make their decisions. And I'm not saying you're... I think that your way of doing it makes total sense and probably leads to less bad games on average than my way of doing it does, but I run things in my order of doing things.
It's reasonable.
It's completely fine.
Reasonable storytellers can disagree on this point.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it
and
up.
And as long
something...
as you're honest with your players on what kind of storyteller you are, that's yep. what matters most.
The only other like storytelling trick I would put on this is, if this happens night three, the Godfather is drunk, not the summoner.
Yeah.
Duh?
You just want to make it clear.
Look, I love an aggro innkeeper. I love an aggro innkeeper as much as the next guy, but that summoner needs to be sober.
The innkeeper's job
yes.
is not to end the game by drunking the summoner. You should never let them do that.
Please don't let them do that.
100%.
Is that a
sort of final... you don't have that many other choices.
Yeah.
Any sort of final thoughts on storytelling the summoner?
Be nice to your player. If the summoner comes up to you and is like, I'm bluffing this, please go along with this, like, do it. Do whatever you can. Especially if it's like a 7-9 player game. At the first 2 days of the game, it's you and the summoner versus the world, actually, a little bit. You're sort of on Evil's team a little bit at the beginning because they're alone. So be nice to them.
Your bag build and your night one choices are very, very, very important. It's probably the majority of the impact you're going to be able to have on the game. So make sure that those early game choices are solid, because when the summoner summons the demon, you have no control over where it goes, you have no control over what info is on that player, you have no control over whether the seamstress picks that player and a confirmed good player that night. You just I've had that experience a few times. You just don't know, right? And so you need to make sure your bag is solid and that your SD choices at the beginning are solid. This isn't the place to sort of experiment with putting evil pings on evil players if you don't have to.
And it's probably a good idea to have a fisherman, a general, an amnesiac, or a savant in your bag.
High priestess,
so
maybe
you
also.
Know, high priestess, so you know that you'll be able to do something in the game. Because summoner is a high, low floor, high ceiling character, basically.
Yeah.
It can go really, really bad or amazingly good for evil, and so you really want to be able to do something if you can.
Yeah, like I said at the top, but one thing I really like about Summoner is it really rewards evil players who try. It really rewards evil players who put in the effort to gather information day one and day two, think about the game, and make the best choice night three. And I like characters that reward people for engaging with the game and its mechanics and its socials. And not that I don't like players who sort of sit back and take things passively, but I like it when the game rewards people for trying their best. God, I sound like Brendan Lee Mulligan. I particularly like Brendan Lee Mulligan.
And that's not a bad thing. Wait. We have to talk about this off podcast.
I don't dislike Brendan Lee Mulligan. He's just not my favorite dropout personality.
And that's okay, because they're all amazing.
I like him enough.
Okay, maybe we don't have to fight after the podcast.
Well, Kohav, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate you joining us. Tell everybody where they can find you and what you're up to. Any small projects you're working on? Any little things nobody's heard of, anything like that, or other things also, if you want to share those.
So probably you have heard of everything I'm doing.
I know.
So you can find me in New York City, playing Blood on the Clock Tower in person, and you can find me on playing on some streams online. Here is a sneak shout out. There may be a New York City-based Clock Tower stream coming out sometime in the future. So shout out to Feldside Up if you are released by the point this episode goes live.
Exciting.
And
That's exciting.
I also help. Yeah, it is exciting. I'm not running it. I just play. I've done enough things. The things I am doing are helping to run a board game convention. Like that's enough.
A
So, if
board
you
game
haven't heard
convention?
of,
What's that?
yes,
Well, we do
it's
know,
well,
most of us, we
okay.
don't know which order they're going to be released, but we do know this is going to be the second episode with Kohav that's released. So
Yes.
you can hear
So
about all this on the
if
Pixie episode.
you, okay, I'm sorry, but if you haven't listened to the Pixie episode, you're doing it wrong. I like Summoner a lot, but I love Pixie, and you have to go back and listen to that. So, fun fact, I also am a guest star on some Grim Scenarios episodes, and one of them was Pixie. Anyways, Final Three Con is a board game convention where you get to play your favorite social deduction games. That includes Blood on the Clock Tower. It also includes Cheese Thief, and lots of other fun, silly social deduction games. We've got Two Rooms and a Boom. We've got a mega game that involves social deduction elements, but is not a giant game of Blood on the Clock Tower, though we also have 40-player Blood on the Clock Tower games.
Oh, yeah.
It's got panels where you can hear some cool people like Milk and Emma talk about strategy
Boom.
and Blood on the Clock Tower. If you're listening to this podcast, you'll probably love their panel at the con. And yeah, it's got cool people and cool things. And it's happening in April in Rockville, Maryland, aka Washington, D.C. outskirts. Yay! If you have questions about the con, just message me on Discord or email hello@final3con.com, and I personally will be the one who answers you. Isn't that fun?
Sounds
And I'm
super
sure
fun.
most of those questions will be, why aren't there more tickets?
We have a wait list.
There you go. Well, thanks again very much, Kohav. We really appreciate you. That's it for the Summoner, everybody. A really interesting character. Hope you all enjoyed this one. And until next time.
May your scenarios stay grim. Good night.